Is your appetite sometimes out of control? Are you unable to stop eating even when you're full? Download our new Intelligent Medicine video, Defensive Eating, Taming Your Addiction to Food. There's a physiological basis for food addiction. The food industry has gripped our brains using powerful food science. Find out what we can do about it. Go to drhoffman.com to download this important video. We will arm you with proven strategies to change your eating behavior forever. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome to another episode of Layla Weighs In podcast, your Friday afternoon podcast here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Thank you for joining me, and I thank you always for sending me your questions. And for those of you who'd like to send questions, send it to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I've got a question here. I've got an email. A lot of people are asking about probiotics. And Kristen writes, and she puts it together well, because I think this is also a question of so many of you listeners. I now have a better understanding of why more CFUs, that's colony-forming units, is not necessarily always better, and that diversity in the strains of probiotic is important, and that in healthcare we're starting to target conditions with specific strains. Can you elaborate on this? And can you also talk about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics and how they differ? And while getting our probiotics from fermented foods is hands down one of my first recommendations, how do we know what strain and the amount of CFUs we are consuming in this case? Let me answer that last question first, Kristen. First of all, there is a wonderful, wonderful website, some of which I'm going to deliver some information firsthand from that website. It's probioticadvisor.com, and the chief researcher is Dr. Jason Horelak. Wonderful, wonderful information there. And if you want to get even more detailed information as a practitioner, you want to subscribe. The subscription is very inexpensive for a year's worth. So go check it out. It's probioticadvisor.com. Now, getting our probiotics from fermented foods, we don't know and we can't know what strain and the amount of CFUs that we're consuming, because it's hard to get a handle on them. Each batch would have to be thoroughly analyzed and so forth and so on. But hey, I'm a big fan of fermented foods too. And what we know is that dairy is one of the best foods to get probiotics from, according to Dr. Horelak. Probiotic delivery is much better. Now, the big question is those with a dairy sensitivity, they don't necessarily want to get their probiotics from yogurt or kefir or something like that, right? So this may be problematic. But listen, one of my favorite foods is kimchi. And I'm not necessarily talking about the Asian spicy kimchi that you see in most grocery stores now, but there are certain brands. I'm going to name one, which is one of my favorites. And they make different, quote, flavors of it. It's mother-in-law's kimchi. That's mother-in-law's kimchi. And I found this in various supermarkets to cost anywhere between $7 and $10 a jar. Here's the thing. They've got the spicy kind, which I've kind of gotten away from. I do like spicy, but I don't necessarily want that in a kimchi. And especially if I'm going to eat some kimchi at breakfast. Oh, which by the way, one of my favorite new breakfasts now is some kimchi with some baby mackerel or sardines. It's a nice change from having eggs or omelets in the morning. Now, the mother-in-law's kimchi, besides the spicy one, they also make the Napa cabbage variety, which is not spicy. It's more mild. And I'll tell you, when you open the jar of it, the liquid in there, which by the way is comparable to champagne in my opinion, and that's how they advertise it too, funnily enough. Anyway, and I love champagne. So the kimchi liquid is divine, in my opinion. I could drink it straight out of the jar. Anyway, when you open the jar of kimchi, it should be bubbling. It should be talking to you. That's how you know these cultures are alive and active and all of that good stuff. And they also taste good too. So let's talk about the CFUs, because a lot of clients are also asking me, you know, is it enough that I've got 10 billion CFUs? Is 10 million enough? CFUs is the colony forming units. That's how is measured in many probiotic supplements. Let's talk a little bit about the nomenclature, because it's not enough to just get a particular genus or species, but we are also interested in the strain. And here it is from Probiotic Advisor, which within each species of bacteria, there are a multitude of strains. Dr. Horilak says that some strains within a given species are strong and resilient. They have a capacity to survive the trip through the upper gastrointestinal tract, interact with the immune system, inhibit pathogenic bacteria, whereas other strains are weak and not worth the price you pay for them because they're not going to survive the transit through the stomach or the small intestine. Let me give an example of this from Probiotic Advisor. For example, Lactobacillus plantarum strain 299V has been shown to effectively reduce IBS symptoms in a number of trials. IBS is irritable bowel syndrome. Whereas, Dr. Horilak says, whereas administration of Lactobacillus plantarum strain number MF1298 was found to actually worsen IBS symptoms. Let's go back to nomenclature a little bit. The bacterial naming system, the genus is Lactobacillus. The species in this example is Rhamnosus, for instance, or a species could be Acidophilus, but the genus is Lactobacillus. The strain in this other example is GG. You've heard of Lactobacillus rhamnosus GG or Lactobacillus GG, often commonly found in culturelle. And culturelle is particularly suited to taking, you know, is a probiotic particularly suited to those who've been taking antibiotics. It should also be noted, according to Probiotic Advisor, that a particular probiotic strain that's working in one condition is not necessarily going to be effective for other conditions. For example, he says, the multi-strain preparation, commonly referred to as containing Lactobacillus acidophilus strain CUL21, CUL60, Bifidobacterium CUL20, and others, okay, before going all the way into it, these strains appear effective in the management of IBS, but, he says, is ineffective in the prevention of antibiotic-associated side effects. Another example is the capacity of Lactobacillus rhamnosus GG, like found in culturelle, is found to effectively prevent antibiotic-associated side effects, but not urinary tract infections. Those might be more for urinary tract infections, might be other things like a different strain of Lactobacillus rhamnosus or Lactobacillus reuteri as is found in other manufactured probiotics. And apparently the strain is very, very important. So a lot of probiotics, a lot of supplement manufacturers will quote a study that use a particular strain and say that their probiotic supplement contains a strain of that and that another strain of that will do the same. According to Dr. Horilak, that is not correct. So the strain has to be specific and it's important, and that's why your probiotic supplement, it's not just all about the CFUs. You want to make sure you're getting a very reputable manufacturer. Okay. Now, guess what? Another wonderful thing I found out on Probiotic Advisor is certain myths that have been busted by Dr. Horelak. And if you've heard me talk about probiotics before, I told you about the two schools of thought. It's worth repeating here that some scientists believe that probiotics should be taken on an empty stomach because that's the least acidic environment in the stomach. That acid, stomach acid, is released when food is introduced to the stomach after eating, where then the acid is secreted to digest the food. And then another school of scientists say, no, you want to take the probiotics with your food because that is the least acid environment because the food is soaking up the acid. Well, I think we have a winner, according to Probiotic Advisor. Dr. Horelak has indeed busted the myth of taking your probiotic on an empty stomach. He says you should take your probiotic on a full stomach because the stomach is always in an acid environment. And when we eat food, we are actually making the stomach environment a little more alkaline. That increases the chances of your probiotic making it through your stomach and small intestine and being able to do its job. There is actually another, some more research. I was looking at the, at Food Research International. This is from a few years ago. They say that in addition, foods help to buffer the probiotic through the GI tract, regulate their colonization, and contain other functional ingredients, such as bioactive components, which may interact with the probiotics to alter their efficacy and functionality. So the growth and the survival of the probiotics that we're taking during transit through the GI tract is affected by the physical and chemical properties of food carriers. Okay. So, prebiotic food ingredients, which are naturally found in our foods. Let me describe some prebiotic foods for you. Pistachio nuts, leeks, onions, some garlic, Jerusalem artichoke, asparagus. There are even more prebiotics out there. Those are probably the more common ones. And of course, another one that we like a lot is the kiwi extract, which is found in Flowey. Anyway, prebiotic food ingredients encourage the growth of probiotic bacteria. And the appropriate combination of prebiotics and probiotics manifest higher potential for a synergistic effect. And this is actually where Dr. O'Hara's is superior, especially the more recently formulated product, which is Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics Professional Formula, the professional formula of essential formulas. And how that is different is that it is fermented an additional 2 years, from 3 years to 5 years. And the professional formula is tweaked during the fifth year of processing to provide the organic acids that are more robust than found in the original essential formula. So, the potency of the micronutrient byproducts is maximized to expedite the adhesion of the good bacteria in the colon. It does help for colonization of good beneficial bacteria in the colon. So, even though the CFU, the colony-forming units of the lactic acid bacteria, may be less than in the original Dr. O'Hara's, this is more robust in that it is containing also the prebiotics. Let me tell you, it's got a proprietary fermented culture, a fermented culture medium of fruits, vegetables, mushrooms, seaweeds that contain prebiotic enzymes, bacteriocins, trace amounts of vitamins, minerals, amino acid. It is packaged in a way that you're almost getting like a superhero version of food, a very ultra-concentrated food. And this is where Dr. O'Hara's, in my opinion, is a better probiotic because it's also mixed with a prebiotic. So now, let's talk dosage for a little bit, because a lot of us are still looking at the CFUs and so forth. Going back to the information at Probiotic Advisor, Dr. Horalak does say that the dosage of probiotic foods and supplements is based solely upon the number of live organisms present in the product, and that successful results have been attained in clinical trials using between 10 to the 7th power and 10 to the 11th CFU a day. Let me translate that. 10 to the 7th is more like 10 million CFUs, and then going into the billions of CFUs. So this is actually the minimum concentration of the probiotic bacteria that's needed to achieve the therapeutic effects. And again, this is strain dependent. So that in some strains, for example, Lactobacillus reuteri, Lactobacillus is the gene, reuteri is the species, Protectus is the strain. The 10 to the 7th power, or the 10 million CFU, is a sufficient quantity to produce a beneficial effect. Whereas for other strains, you need much more CFU. For instance, with Lactobacillus rhamnosus GG. And the proper CFU content is in the Culturelle product. If you're interested in either a Culturelle or in Dr. O'Hara's essential formula and professional formulas, go to drhoffman.com, click on the store, put those names into the search box. So this situation makes it hard to give a firm dosage because the minimum effective dosage is differing by strain. And another caution by Dr. Horalak is don't let a supplement manufacturer convince you that the strains don't really matter, that there's not enough scientific research. This is, in fact, incorrect. The strain does matter. The science is there. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about yogurt. Research suggests that 100 times less viable bacteria can be given in a dairy medium than in a freeze-dried supplement, and achieve similar numbers of live organisms in the lower bowel. This is coming back to the point I was making about dairy as being a really good messenger of the probiotic, the beneficial bacteria. Apparently, dairy appears to work as an ideal transport medium for bacteria, enhancing their survival through the stomach and the small intestine. And Probiotic Advisor says that the minimum dosage of viable bacteria needed in a dairy medium is about 10 to the 8th power CFU dose. And that medicinal or therapeutic yogurts contain greater than 10 to the 6th per ml. And so about a half cup of a good quality probiotic yogurt will provide sufficient probiotic bacteria for therapeutic effects. Okay. So I also want to talk to you for those who are dairy sensitive. Again, I stand by my love of kimchi, sauerkraut, properly lactic acid fermented pickles, as in bubbies. These are all wonderful. And like I said, the fluid in the mother-in-law kimchi, that probiotic liquid, that fermentation liquid, tastes like champagne, at least to me, and it's just wonderful, wonderful stuff. Now, Kristen, thank you for your question. And on a related topic, I was reading here, and this is from Gut, from last year, 2015, the journal Gut. Here's the topic: proton pump inhibitors affect gut bacteria, which may fuel infection. PPIs, as you know, Nexium, Prilosec, all of those. For those of you who are taking it for GERD, for gastroesophageal reflux disease, heartburn, reflux, all of those, okay? What they found in the journal, that PPIs used to reduce stomach acid and treat acid reflux change the population of microbes living in the intestines, which may explain why they increase the risk of certain infections, according to a study. And these studies have linked them to an increased risk of Clostridium difficile infection. We are seeing more and more here at the Hoffman Center, patients coming in with C. diff, Clostridium difficile, that just won't go away. Apparently, taking a round of antibiotics is not the only source of an intractable C. diff infection. It's the other source is taking your Prilosec, your Nexium, or anything that you're taking for your GERD. So PPIs, as we know, are widely used and they're often overused, according to the study scientists. So they found that those using PPIs had less diversity of their gut microbes as well, all right? And these differences are in line with known changes that predispose to C. diff infections and can potentially explain the increased risk of enteric infections in PPI users. We know that there's that SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. You've heard Dr. Hoffman talk about it. He's podcasted with professionals about it. You've heard me talk about SIBO and write about SIBO. This is becoming endemic, and it could very well be the PPIs. On a population level, according to the study in gut, the effects of PPIs are more prominent than the effects of antibiotics or other commonly used drugs, the researchers pointed out. Okay. So, and as we know here, PPIs are available over the counter. And so a lot of people are taking them and they're not being taken appropriately. So the people who are taking these drugs have less beneficial bacteria. They're in much lower numbers and they have more harmful bacteria in higher numbers. And in fact, PPI use makes some infections 1.5 times more likely. Well, you want to rethink how long you're taking that medicine for your GERD when what you really need to be doing is taking a hard look at your diet and eliminating the foods that can cause or exacerbate your GERD. And you could find that out with the help of a qualified nutritionist. I thank you for joining me on another episode of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.